I guess about 6 months ago, I was introduced to a book called True Riches by John Quartines and a guy named Gregory Bauer. And in this book, they talked about a lady named Sheila. Didn't give her last name, but they talked about her. Her parents had actually come from China and had grown up in the Cultural Revolution there, had come through that in the very difficult time that was. And so frugality and saving money was just huge in their lives because it was just scarcity at that time in China. So her family had moved to America, and Sheila was born, was raised in America, but that whole mentality was just heavy on that family, just save, 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 save. So much so that when Sheila got out of college and started working, she had amassed a savings of about $200,000 by the age she was 29, which is pretty incredible. But that was just her mindset, save, 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 save. Sheila was invited to a mission trip in Haiti. And for all of you that have ever been on mission trips, you know how God just grabs a hold of your heart and just makes you realize what we have here in America compared to so many in the world. And so when she went on this trip, she just fell in love with this particular ministry that was basically hiring ladies in to make handcrafted products for American retailers. It was giving them a job, providing them income to help alleviate some of the poverty that they were dealing with. And so she was attracted to that. She came back to the States and just continued to give to that particular ministry. Well, at some point, and I don't know the details on this because the book doesn't go into it, but at some point in this, Sheila, that ministry basically violated some contract agreement with an American retailer and ended up costing this American company tons of money. And so per the contract, this ministry had to make it up somewhere to the tune of like $250,000. And the poor ministry was trying to negotiate, figure out a way to work with this company to make it right. And, you know, they knew if they couldn't, then all of a sudden this ministry was going to go under. And so Sheila, it just broke her heart to see that. And the way God works, she was just had gone to a Giving Generously conference or something like that. And when she left that conference, God had just convicted her about her savings. And so she came back and she gave the entire $200,000. I don't know why I get tripped up on stuff like this, but it just I'm an emotional guy, but that just amazed me. She gave the $200,000 to that ministry to keep it afloat. And you see that, and you hear a story like that, and man, I tell you what, I always take a step back and say, whew, man, that was radical. That was radical living right there. That's radical giving. And then some of you may say, though, or was that just obedience? Was that obedience to God's word? When Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And today, we're actually going to take a little bit of time and look at what Jesus taught about giving as we continue part two on the study of our significance of our money. And for those of you that were with us last week, we touched on the parable of the rich fool. And I showed this slide, so if you weren't with us, just to kind of get you up to speed, we talked about last week how not to be rich towards God. And I looked at three things. Failed to guard against greed. Jesus was very stern there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, talking about greed. He said to watch out, to be on your guard. So fail to guard against greed. We also talked about viewing your money and possessions as your own. That is one way, obviously, not to be rich towards God. And then accumulating money for yourself. So those are the three things that we looked at last week. And we were in Luke 12, and we're going to stay in Luke 12 this week. We're actually going to stay in Luke chapter 12, and we're only going to focus on Luke chapter 12, verses 31 through 34, just four verses. And my goal today as we work through this is to try to pull out 3 points through these four little verses for us, three little points. And then at the end of that, I'm going to take a little sidebar and give you a couple of tools that me and Lisa use that try to help us kind of be, I guess the way of saying this, to be rich towards God. There are things that are out there that we use, and I want to just share those with you all. They may be of help to you. They may not. I'll just share them. You can take them or leave them. And then we'll come back and we'll conclude. So that's where we're going to head today. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 12 in verse 31 through 34. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV. So if you'll go ahead and turn there and go to 31, Luke 12, verse 31. And let me start out with that verse. It says, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." So you read that, and you're like, well, what are these things? So let's scooch you back on up to verse 21, where we finished up last week. And we start there. It says, "This is how it'll be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." You look at verse 21, and just to see how Jesus is going to respond to that, it makes you think, I wonder if those disciples, when they were listening to Jesus talk about not accumulating stuff for yourself, if their immediate thought was, well, Lord, what about all the what ifs? What if a famine comes? What about food? What about my needs? What about all these things? I'm just wondering if that was in their heart somewhere. Because then Jesus turns around and gives us these verses starting in 22 through 30. And I'm just going to read those. We're not going to stay in these, but they're just really rich. And these sort of set the groundwork for what we're going to talk about. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." And I just want to plant right there for a second. "And your Father knows that you'll need them." That is key. The Father knows. Jesus saying, don't worry about your necessities. Don't worry about your what ifs, because your Father knows that you need them. And that is the foundation of being rich towards God. The fact that he knows what we need. And you tag that along with this, if I can get the slide to There we go. Sorry about that. So let's look at these slides here. So Psalm 50, 9 through 12. So we talk about God knows everything. And then this verse is from Psalm. "I have no need for a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." He controls all. He knows. He controls all. "For the world is mine and all that is in it." And then look at Psalm 103. And we pray through Psalm 103 a lot on Wednesday nights. And David actually read it to us this past Wednesday. And I just pulled a couple of verses out of here. "The Lord is so good and loving." Look at this. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Amen. "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who fear him." Verse 30, he knows, he's in control, and he is good, and he is loving. And when that sets the foundation for us, and we truly believe that, then that becomes really the first concept about being rich towards God, to trust God to meet your needs, to trust God to meet your needs. Back to verse 31. Well, I don't know if we read 31, but yeah, we did. We started with 31. So let's go back there. It says, "But seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well." So in seeking his kingdom, realizing that we can trust God to meet all our needs, all those necessities, all those things we worry about, all those what ifs that may pop in our head when we truly follow God, when we truly seek him, God knows, he's in control, and he is good. He is good. And I don't know how all this works, but when you step out in faith, that promise that he says right there, all these things will be given to you as well, I know we know Jesus' promises are true, but that is so true. It is just so, so true. And I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people in this room and even in preparing for these sermons where you have told me how God called you to do something or to test your faith in giving and how God just stepped in and provided it for you. People didn't have rent to pay and God provided. Or I had someone tell me just recently just how they were got to the end. They got it, moved them somewhere. They got to the point where they just didn't know where the next money was going to come from. And all of a sudden, this money shows up at their house from someone they didn't expect from. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing how God works that way. And I mentioned last week when I was giving a little bit of our testimony about moving over to the ministry from the corporate world, and I mentioned there was three ways God had just impacted our family after we had made that decision and provided for us. And I had a lady grab me in the back afterwards, like, you need to tell us what those three were. So I was like, well, it may take a little while, but I'll just give you one little tidbit in there. So we had a situation where when Lisa and I stepped away from my previous employer, there was money that had been set aside in a sort of a retirement thing for us. And we knew by leaving, we would no longer have access to that or didn't think we would have access to it. But we had felt like, well, that's just something we'll lay on the altar before God. You know, if he's moving us in this direction, Lord, that's yours. Do whatever you want to. And then last Friday, I go, because I'm one of these weird guys that love to check the budget and all this stuff. So I check it all the time. And so I checked my little app and the money was in our bank account. And God didn't have to do that. It was okay if he would have taken it and done whatever with it, but he gave it to us. And so now we have a responsibility to take that and say, God, what do you want us to do with it? Because he was good. He controls. He knows all. And he just decided to bless us that way. And I tell you what, I bet if we went around this room and we talked about, you probably have tons of testimonies of where God tested you, where you gave, and God delivered. And not that he had to deliver, not that he had to provide anything back to you, but I just hear it over and over and over that he just does. Because he's true to his promises. Seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. He is good, he's in control, and he knows all. And so before we go further, just to kind of grab onto that a little bit, the question, I think we all just have to take a step back. And even when I see God move, I always find myself falling back into traps of questioning him. It just happens. It's just my sin nature. And so this is always a good question for me too, all of us. It's like, do you really trust that God will meet your needs if you truly seek him? If he calls you to do A, B, C, or D, whatever that is, do you really trust that he's gonna meet those needs? And, you know, if you just kind of did a little test, like, I don't know what you would define as a treasure in your life, you know, and I don't want to try to guess what everybody's little treasure is. For me, I love backpacking, so I have a nice little tent that I camp in, and I got my little backpack, and, you know, what if God showed up and said, Kevin, I want you to give that tent and that backpack to the person on the trail over there that doesn't have a whole lot? Yeah, okay, I'd do that. But then, you know, what if he said, Kevin, how about your job? Why don't you give your job up? Okay, Lord, I sort of did that just now, so I guess I could do it again. What if he said, give up your vehicle? Ooh, your house. Your savings, like Sheila. And, you know, you could go through that and all the treasures in between, and for all of us, somewhere in that whole spectrum, we get to what I call an ugh moment. We're kind of fine along the way, and then it's like, you get to one of those topics and you're like, ooh, that would hurt a little bit. And this is not like a question of trying to throw guilt on anyone. It's more like of an awareness of where you are spiritually. Because God already knows where we are. He knows where our heart's at. And if we're going to get to the next level in serving God, further his kingdom, if he's going to stretch us more, it's really about God just kind of taking us where we are and then stretching us a little bit and moving us on down that line a little bit. And I don't know where you are on that, but I think the key is to know that wherever God may have you right now, when you think about that and what he may ask you to give at some point in the future and where you feel like, ooh, I want to cling on to it a little bit, that's where I think we go before God and say, Holy Spirit, would you work in my heart Am I wrong in this? Help me move forward. Get me out of this little rut I may be in. Because at the end of the day, we don't want anything holding us back, anything holding us back from seeking his kingdom and pleasing him. And if there's something we're holding on to that he may come and say, Kevin, I want you to give that up. I want you to give that back to me because it's already mine anyway. I want you to give that back to me. Do we really trust? Do we really trust that he is good, that he's in control, and he knows what we need? Do we really trust that? Because when we trust that, when we truly believe that, then it helps us do the command that Jesus gives us, number two there, to give generously. Straight from verses 32 and 33. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I just love that. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom and all that's in the kingdom. He's been pleased to give that to you. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about those necessities. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. And then he gives us the command there, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, a couple comments here. Doesn't say sell all your possessions. This verse does not teach that. Now, Jesus did tell the rich young ruler in chapter 18 to sell all your possessions. He saw his heart, saw where he was clinging to. Jesus did command him to do that. If you look at Zacchaeus went and sold half his possessions over in Luke 19. So doesn't say sell all your possessions here. But here's the key thing here. If you go back to verse 18, I think verse 33 is really challenging what Jesus has said or kind of expanding on what Jesus said in verse 18. If you look back in verse 18, when he's talking about the parable of the rich fool, he says, then he said, this is the rich fool talking, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. That's the rich young fool talking. Then you come over here, or the rich fool, then you come over to verse 33, and Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Verse 18, when you focus on yourself, there's barns, there's accumulation. Verse 33, when you focus on others, when you focus on Christ, you sell and you give. A shift. Focus on others, focused on self. And trusting God to meet our needs, when we truly trust him to meet our needs, moves that focus off of us and onto others and creates a heart that is generous and is willing and ready to share. And that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And when you talk about being generous, and when you read that, to sell your possessions and give to the poor, I mean, that is Jesus' command to us. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Two things about being generous as I was just working through this. One, there's always, 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 especially in our country, in the country we live, we're just so, so blessed. There is always going to be someone around us that we can be generous to. There is always going to be that way. No matter where you are on the income level, we have just been blessed. We're so rich in this country compared to so many parts of the world. And you know what? God may bring people to you. He may bring ministries to you. And we have a responsibility to obey him. When he prompts our spirit to go give, we need to be ready and willing to do that. I think a lot of times, and maybe this is me preaching to myself here, but I will get myself wrapped up a lot of times, and when it comes to giving, and especially giving to those that may be less fortunate than me, I'm scarred because of a situation early on in my life where I gave money to someone, and it was used for the wrong reasons, and I won't go into details of that, but I also have that in the back of my mind, is this money going to be used for the right purposes? Because the last thing I want to do, I don't want to fall in the trap there of enabling somebody. I think 1 Timothy 5:22 says, do not share in the sins of others. And so I'm always cautious of that. But there's really no excuse for me on that. And I share that because there's so many ministries out here that God has called people into these ministries. And they serve the poor. They serve the less fortunate. And they are so knowledgeable about that. They have so much wisdom and discernment that oftentimes I think it may be better, Kevin, you could probably just give the money to that organization. they'll be able to sift through some of that stuff that concerns you, and they could basically give, and they can work that money out the way God needs it to go. I'm not saying don't give when God prompts your spirit to move and to give to the poor or give to the needy or give to whomever. But if you're like me and sometimes you kind of get kind of bogged down on that, give it to like a Miracle Hill. Give it to another organization that goes out there. I was on Leadership Greenville years ago, and so they would take us around and just show us things going on in Greenville County. And one of the sessions that we had, they call it the Poverty Tour. And they took all of us around Greenville and showed us all these ministries that were serving the needs in our community. And I walked away from that thinking, these people know what they're doing. They know how to get the money to the right people in the right time in the right place, because God had given them a special gift and had just blessed them. And I was just like, it just blew me away, and that just stuck with me. And I'm like, why do I need to go try to recreate a wheel and go look for something when it's right there? I can funnel money to them and see what God does with it. See what God does with it. So there's always going to be someone around us we can give to, someone we can be generous to. It could be family members. It could be whomever just around our circle, our work. They're all there. And Jesus tells us to be generous. The second thing is, being generous requires intentionality. It requires intentionality. We plan, when you plan to evangelize somebody, you try to create a relationship with them. You may invite them over for dinner. You may go hang out with them. You try to work things out such that you can get an opportunity to share the gospel with them. You create those relationships. We plan mission trips. We plan church events. We should plan our giving. We should be intentional about how we give. And so, do you have a plan for giving? I always love when the Christians that I know in my life that have, they would take like Christmas time and they would say, we're just deciding we're not going to give gifts for our family. We're going to take the money we would spend to our family and we're going to go give it, buy gifts for another family that doesn't have a whole lot. And I love those stories. And I think about that. That is a family or, you know, or husband, wife, whatever, that basically said, you know what? We're gonna plan to do something differently this year. They didn't wake up on Christmas morning and say, hey, let's go get gifts for another family. They planned that. And so the question is, do we have a plan for giving? Do we have a plan how we can be generous when God opens the door so we're ready and willing to do that? And I don't know how that will look for each of you. I think it's gonna be different on how we would plan our giving. Some of you, it may be, I'm just going to increase the percentage I give every year for as long as God continues to keep me on this earth. Maybe you seek out a new ministry each year and you invest in them. You're like, hey, I'm going to give to this new ministry. You spend time vetting them, making sure they're doing gospel work, and then you invest in that ministry, and you just find a new one each year to do that to. I don't know. You could probably think of a host of things that you could do there. A lot of you probably do things that like that already. Here's something really radical that I was actually challenged by, and I'm not saying I'm there yet, but really want to see God move? Why don't we say, Lord, what do I need to live on? Determine what that is, and then say, whatever else you bring, I give to you, I give back to you. Now, that sounds very radical. Rich Mullins, many of y'all know that name because he wrote a bunch of wonderful songs that we still sing today, Awesome God, Step by Step, Calling Out Your Name. He died in 1997 when he was 41 years old in an automobile accident, very tragic accident, but was a great musician. I love listening to his music. I even love listening to his music today. In fact, I still got some of his songs on my worship playlist that I listen on the way into church on Sunday mornings. And God's still using him to impact people. Interesting enough, when he died, he was actually living on a Navajo reservation teaching music to children there. And interestingly, as I read this week, Francis Chan had talked about this in a book, and I had read it this week. What he had done, he had basically gone to the elders of his church and said, hey, I am going to have all my concert money and all the money from all my record sales or CD sales, whatever they were, song sales. I'm going to have all that money come straight to the church. What I want you to do, I want you to pay me just a modest salary, and then everything else I want you to give to charity. So when Rich Mullins died, he didn't know how much money he was making, truly making. He knew, I just need this to live on. Just give me what I need. Let the other money go to charity. Let it go to impact the kingdom. And I read that today, this week, and I'm like, wow, what a life. You know, what a life that he was living there. Because Rich was rich towards God. Rich Mullins was rich towards God. He wanted to see God move, and he did a radical thing. And really, when you think about it, if God's in control, he knows what we need, and he's good, he's going to provide us our basic needs. Lord, what do we do with the rest you've given us? What do we do with the rest you've given us? Here's what we do with the rest you've given us. Trust God to meet your needs, give generously, and then invest in eternity. Verses 33, and I'll just go ahead and read 34 too, verses 33 and 34. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Compare the latter part of verse 33 back to verse 20. Verse 20 says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Not a wise investment. Come over here to verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Never wears out, does not fail, can't be stolen, is protected. I tell you, if someone were to come to Kevin and say, hey, I got this investment, Kevin, I want you to think about putting your money into, I can promise you the company's never going to go bankrupt. It's going to be successful indefinitely, always going to be making money, and there's nothing outside of its control that's going to destroy it. No tornado, no hurricane, no anything. None of that's going to destroy it. From a finance guy, if someone were to give me an investment like that, I'd be like, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all into that one. There's no way I can lose. And that's what eternal investing is. We can't lose. Whatever we store up in heaven, we can't lose. It's in heaven for us to be enjoyed forever and ever and ever with Jesus in our home, in the place where we were meant to be, where everything is right, where everything is beautiful, where we're with Jesus day in and day out. And I tell you, when you just take a step back and think about heaven and think about in light of our money and possessions that God has given to us, and I know we come through these doors and we bring so many things in our lives. There's so many struggles. I mean, sin, we got cancer, we got brokenness in families, and you know, we hear it on Wednesday nights when we pray, and we keep praying that God would deliver and show up and do stuff, and we're waiting on him. We trust him with it. And then you throw on top of just all of that stuff the fact we've got an enemy prowling around looking for something to devour, looking to us to devour our lives. And it's just like, this world at times is just so, so tough. It is so, so tough. And then to think about heaven, our home, how beautiful it is, no enemy, no sin, no aches and pain. I can actually go run a few miles and not feel like, hobble around the house, no cancer, no death. And then all those things you think about in our life that always come to an end, all the good times, there's always an end to those good times. We have family come over, but they have to go. You know, we go do this event, we get excited about it, but the event ends. In heaven, that doesn't happen. It just continues. The good times just continue over and over and over for eternity. And we have access to that because of Jesus. Jesus, our treasure, God sent Jesus. He lived that perfect life. He died on that cross. God rose him from the grave, ascended to heaven. And all he says, hey, put your faith and trust in me. Obey me. One day, you're going to be able to share in all of this. But if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. The simple gospel. And that is so powerful. And that is our access to heaven. And for those of us that have done that, have put our faith and trust in him, that's what we're headed to one day. We're headed to this awesome, awesome place where all this junk we deal with, it ain't there. It ain't there. I can't imagine that. Heaven just blows my mind at times. I can't grasp how beautiful it is going to be. And I know that's because if I could figure it out, the wonder wouldn't be there. And God is a God of wonder. And so we all need to be like those little kids that just, you know, when they see something amazing, they're just like, wow. That's how we are with what heaven's going to be like. Wow. One day we're going to be there. But this is what blows my mind of this whole teaching. I'm talking about heaven. Talk about our money and possessions that God gives. And this may not hit you like it hit me, but boy, it hit me this week. Here's the thing. I'm going to try to follow this. So God gave us the ultimate treasure, his son. He gave us Jesus, the ultimate treasure. Number two, then God gives us money and resources. It's his. He gives us money and resources to give back to him, just to obey and give back to him. And when we do that, he gives us treasure in heaven for us to enjoy one day forever. It's this common thing. He gave us Jesus. He gives us the resources. And if we just do what he says, I'm going to give you more in heaven. I give, I give, I give. Because he loves, he loves, he loves. All he asks us to do is be obedient to what he asks us to do with the money he has given us. And I tell you what, that just makes, when I just take a step back and I think about, there's the only thing I'm having to do in that whole situation is just say, when the Holy Spirit prompts me, yes, Lord. He's already done the work. He already sent Jesus. He's given me the money anyway. And then he's preparing something beautiful for me in heaven. That just floors me. He just asks us to obey and give and to be rich towards him. Trust God, give generously, and invest in eternity. Those three simple things. Now, I'm going to just pause right here, kind of let that sink in a little bit, and I'm going to move out of the sermon, and I'm going to come back and conclude. But what I want to do is just go through a couple of things for you all on what Lisa and I, what God has led us to, that help us try to be rich towards God. Now, we don't get it right all the time, but this is just some tools. And I just felt like it would be good for me just to share these, because sometimes, you know, we come in here and we hear God's word and we may leave thinking, how do I apply this? How can I put some things in place? And this may help you. It may not. So I'm going to just share these with you and you can just take them or leave them. Now, this is all Kevin Hodge talking. This is not the views of Life Point Church. So I almost feel like I need to say, you know, one of those little disclaimers, this is not the view of Life Point Church, blah, 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 all those little things. So this is just Kevin. So if you don't like it, Kevin, it's all me. So this is what, I want to show you a couple of things here. So depending where you are in your finance journey with serving and being generous, we're all different on that line. We're all over the place. That's just the way it is. And that's a good thing. I want to share with you these three things that God has brought to me that has just been very helpful. The first thing is that little FaithFi. There's an app called FaithFi. This is a Christian organization that put out this app. It's really a money tool, a budgeting tool. You can feed all your finance information into it, and it will basically, you set a budget, and it tracks your expenses to it. For those of you that are all into these little finance apps things and real savvy, you'll know there's a thing called the envelope method. It also has the envelope method. The reason I love this, I was introduced to this about 3 months ago. Not only is it a neat little budgeting tool, but it has all these little resources that come with it. There's constant teaching about giving. There's these little podcasts. There's a podcast every day that comes out, 25 minutes, 5 minutes of biblical teaching, 20 minutes of question and answer. You can just learn about what God teaches about investing money in the kingdom just from listening to those little podcasts. You have a community of believers that are in there, so you can ask questions, you get answers. But the coolest thing about this one that I don't see anywhere else, and I've looked at a bunch of different apps, is this particular one, it puts a priority on giving. When it lists out your budget, the top line is giving. And I love that. And now you can go in and rearrange it if you want to, but it just has this focus on giving. And so I just share that with you because from a standpoint of if you're learning about how to use your money for the kingdom and there's things you have questions about, that is just a one-stop shop resource. It is just a neat little place to go. Now, there is a small fee to do this. I think it's like $5 a month or you can pay annually. So there is a cost, but you're investing in a group that's investing in the kingdom by sharing all this knowledge with others, and it's biblically based. So I just wanted to throw that out there to y'all. You may want to check that out. If you already have something, that's fine. The other thing is called, this is a bank, Adelphi, Better Bank and Higher Purpose. So this is an organization, it's a Christian credit union out in California that God led Lisa and I to. And so when we have any sort of money that may not need to be spent immediately, but we know it's got to be spent at some point, we will put some of our money with this bank for investments. And the reason we love this is because Adelphi is a Christian organization, Christian Community Credit Union, and they basically take the money that sits in their bank and they invest it in Christian ministries. And it's just really cool. We, Trail Life, we bank with them as well. And when I call, so we have these rules in the world when you deposit money, if it's above a certain amount, you have to call the bank and you have to make some exceptions to actually allow the money to go through. So if we get a big donation into Trail Life, I have to call Adelphi and tell them, hey, we got this money coming in. Can you change your remote deposit system so we can get it in there? And this is what's so cool about it. So I'll call and I'll tell them, hey, we got this check, whatever the amount. And they get more excited about the check than I do. They're like, wow, somebody gave to your ministry this amount of money, blah, blah, blah. And they're all excited on the phone. I'm like, oh, maybe I should be a little more excited too. You know, it's like all excited. And, but they care because they say, well, this is money that's going to be going to the ministry and it's going to go serve the kingdom. And I tell you, I just love that. I love that about them. So we bank with them at Trail Life. Lisa and I have some funds that we want to put there for them as well until we need to use them. And I love that particular bank. And there's several Christian community credit unions out there. You can go online and find them. This is just one that has just been a blessing to us. And if you are interested in putting your money out there short term, that's going to invest in the kingdom, I would recommend Adelphi. The last one I want to tell you about is called Inspire. This is Inspire Investments. And just full disclosure, I have done very little with this. But this actually came from a conversation where Lisa challenged me on something, and rightfully so. So I love to invest little things. I like to invest in stocks and stuff like that. And so I set Lisa up to be the beneficiary. So anytime I do this stuff, she gets a notification of what I'm doing, which is good accountability, by the way. And so I was going out investing in some of these stocks, and Lisa grabs me one day. He says, why'd you invest in this company? Because this company does blah, 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 things that were not biblical. And I'm like, you're right. It's like, I shouldn't have put our money there. You're exactly right. And so I took a step back and I'm like, well, God, what am I doing? Why am I investing in companies that are out there supporting abortion rights, LGBT, all these things contrary to scripture? Why am I doing that? Is that right? And the answer to that was, to me, was no, it's not right. Inspire Investments pops up. This is a group that what they do is they basically go out, all public companies, they rate them based on biblical values. And then if you were ever to go out and make an investment, you could go type in the little stock symbol and it'll give you the rating that they've given it. Whether if it's one side, then they're not necessarily they're Christian companies, but they just don't get involved in some of that junk. If they get a bad rating, it's like a big red. And so you can kind of go out there and just check that. They also have something called exchange traded funds. And I'm getting a little more technical here, but these are investments where you invest in more than one company and they'll take these funds, they'll take your funds and they'll invest it in multiple companies that all are aligned with biblical values or are not opposing any biblical values. So again, not saying you need to invest money for long term, because obviously the last thing we want to do is build up barns like we talked about the other day. But there is wisdom. You read Proverbs, there is wisdom in saving little bit by little bit. You know, if you got things coming up, emergencies at some point, like we said last week, we're going to reach the point my health is going to give out at some point. I'm not going to be as productive. There needs to be money set aside for those days. I don't want to be a burden onto Caleb and Chelsea. if I can avoid that. So we'll put a little bit. So if there's this rule of thumb, if it's going to be out there, you're going to need to be saving it for longer than 5 years. It makes sense to sometimes invest it in the markets. Now, there's a host of different opinions out there on that, and I get that. But the markets historically are going to give a better return, as they just always have. I read something this morning that over the past 30 years, the stock market has given back 10%, and the bonds is like 4%. So those are much higher than some of the other rates you can get. So I just share that. If you're in that investing world type thing, I would encourage you to check them out, because they can kind of align where your money is, where it sits, until God calls you to use it somewhere else, that it's not going to support companies that you don't want to be involved with. So then last, these are some books that God over the past 6 months has just worked in my heart with. Obviously, Proverbs. In full disclosure, these 2 weeks, I was actually going to go through the book of Proverbs. I had read through the book, highlighted every money verse there, grouped them into groups, and was going to be teaching on that, but God took me in a different direction. That may come one day in the future, so who knows? I'll save all those notes. But the book of Proverbs is just rich, rich with how to manage your money. Randy Alcorn's book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, that is deep, thick. That is not something you're going to knock out in a weekend. So, but it challenges you. It challenges you, like Scripture here. It takes God's word, and just he just does a good job of just the making it applicable to our lives. I would encourage you, if you want to check that out, to read that. And then last one is True Riches that I referred to this morning earlier by John Cortines and Gregory Bommer. That is a read you could probably knock out in a weekend. And again, just great stories of giving, going through God's word. Those have just been wonderful tools in my life. And for me, just to sit on them and not share those with you would not be right. So I wanted you to know those. And so if God moves in your heart, maybe grab one of those and read it, or check out some of those apps and online services that I just showed you. All right, let's come back, and we're going to conclude our sermon this morning. Back to verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if Christ is our treasure, our heart is going to be on eternity. If Christ is our treasure, our heart's going to be on eternity, and our money is going to follow. Our money is going to follow. Now, as I said earlier, heaven blows my mind, but I can only imagine the stories that will be shared in heaven about generosity that happened here on this earth. And I can't imagine what those would be like. This is just a hypothetical thing, but I just hope there's stories like this that we're going to hear over and over. And I'm going to throw my name in there. You could insert your name into this, but again, this is just a hypothetical. But imagine just sitting there in heaven with Jesus, just enjoying him. And then out of the blue, he says, "Hey, Kevin, you remember that $50 that I prompted you to give when you were in college? You had in your wallet. You were listening to that group that came through that was serving in a foreign country, and you just, I just asked you to give, and you gave. Well, I took that money, and it was this little family overseas that I took that money, and I fed and kept them alive for a week with your $50. And I asked other people to give, and they gave as well. And as that missionary that took that money and that food to them, gave them that food, they were able to share Christ. There was a little boy in that family that I raised up to be an evangelist. And he walked around that community, and he shared my word with everyone in that community. And Kevin, you see those people sitting over there enjoying that fruit off that tree and here in heaven? Those people right there are here because it all started with that little boy, and I kept him alive by using your $50. And just to think, you take that story and think, there's so many things as we give generously. We may see some fruit of it here, but I can't imagine what is God does with that we won't see to one day we get to heaven and hear him tell us these stories. And oh, to long for that, to long to give so that I can sit there with Jesus one day and he can share, "Hey, look at what I did with what the little was that I gave you to start with, and you just gave it back, and look what I did. And look at the people here in heaven because of you. Be rich towards God. Guard against greed. View your money and possessions as God's. Trust God to meet your needs. Give generously. And invest in eternity. Those were the things we hit over the past 2 weeks. Guard against greed. View your money and possessions as God's. Trust God to meet your needs. Give generously. And invest in eternity. I don't know where everybody is in the room when it comes to giving, but my prayer is that Jesus will be our treasure, our ultimate treasure, and that we will obey his teaching to be rich towards God. May he be our treasure, and may we obey his teaching to be rich towards God, because the rewards are eternal. The rewards are eternal. Let's pray. Father, I know for me at times, even when I read your word and think about the things you've asked us to do, and sometimes it's, at least for me, some are easier than others, and I know with my brothers and sisters here, I think we all can relate to that. And Lord, I know some in this room, you've given the spiritual gift of giving, and this is just something they enjoy. And for others, it may be a bit of a challenge. It may be difficult. Lord, you know in my life there's been difficulties with it. And Father, we just come before you recognizing that no matter where we are on that, Lord, we ultimately want you to be our treasure. And so, Lord, wherever we are, would you just take us where we are and just move us one step or two steps down that line closer to you? Would you show us how we can love you more with what you've already given us? And I just thank you so much that you gave us Jesus, you give us resources, and then as we give back to you, you give us eternal treasure to enjoy forever and ever and ever. And Lord, I cannot imagine that. I just can't imagine it. But Lord, it's something I long to see. And so Holy Spirit, wherever we are today in this room, would you just move and would you speak clearly? And I just pray that we would all just listen to you, and however you lead us, we would obey. That we would trust you, that you know what we need, that you're in control, and that you're good, because you are. You are so, so good. Jesus, thank you for being our treasure. May our lives show you that you are our treasure. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
I want to see